from San Francisco to Paris, Nashville to Amsterdam. We're reaching up.
I am in Tel Aviv, Israel, with the first part of a two-part interview with Melise Lewine Boscovich, Managing Director of Peace Child Israel. Melise went from being a member of the Jewish Defense League, working with Radical Rabbi Meir Kahani, to heading Peace Child Israel, which seeks real peace by bringing Palestinian and Israeli youth together to create in the arts and to create relationships, understanding, and respect with and for each other. First, some of the Peace Child theme. This is Don Fass, and we are in Tel Aviv, Israel, right opposite the Mediterranean, in the lobby of the Maxim Hotel, if you hear a lot of clanging and phones and such. My guest is head of Peace Child Israel, managing director of Peace Child Israel, and Melise, you have a very interesting background, so before we discuss Peace Child Israel, tell our audience about your background personally and what I know you were part of that is very different from Peace Child Israel.
You did your homework. My name is Melise Lewine Boscovich. I'm a dual citizen. I'm American and Israeli. I've been in Israel this time since 1993, right before the Oslo efforts, which have since gone their way, and we're hoping for a revival at this moment. Philly, born and bred, Philadelphia. And I went to Temple University in Villanova for my graduate theater degree, music at Temple University College of Music, and theater at Villanova. And as a younger person, let's say, I had an association with the Jewish Defense League, which was Rabbi Meir Kahana's organization. I knew him, I met him, I was affiliated, and I was active. I had a deep need to nurture something as a result of my own personal evolution, my personal evolution at the time, and it was the Jewish people, which I think I'm still doing today, but in a different way.
Now, tell people who don't know what the Jewish Defense League was and how it operated in Israel.
Well, I was associated with it in the States, and in the States, and in the this is the early 70s we're talking about, it was very, very active in the issue of free Soviet Jewry. There were lots of demonstrations, there were all kinds of actions, there was a lot of activity that was done, and to keep the issue on the front page, and it stayed on the front page of New York Times more because of the Jewish Defense League than because of the Jewish establishment, but it kept the Jewish establishment moving on the issue. I really feel that it was a catalyst for a lot of the movement, kept the subject hot. It was also very pro-Israel, and with no real concern for anything but what was good for the Jewish people and the Israeli citizens, and whatever that meant, however that was manifested at the time. Kahana only moved to Israel sometime in 71 or 72. I came as a new immigrant straight out of high school in 1971. I moved here. I lived with someone named Yula Cohen. She was the radio announcer for the Stern Gang, the Lehi, and before the establishment of the state. And I had met her the previous summer when I also interviewed Yitzhak Shamir, who at that time was long before he was prime minister. I interviewed him for the JDL newspaper in a little coffee house in Tel Aviv on Dizengoff Street. I interviewed Shmuel Katz, who also was head of the Eretz Yisrael HaShlema, which means the full Israel from border to border, from sea to sea movement. And of course, I was living with her. She was a very interesting figure, still very passionate about her love of Israel. Her son is a Knesset member. His name is Tzachi Hanegbi. And when he was 9 years old, I was teaching him some of the karate moves that I learned through the Jewish Defense League in their living room. But he was only nine. When I was interviewed about 2 years ago, they called her to see whether what she remembered and how she felt about the way I made a switch in my life. She says, well, once an activist, always an activist. Great woman. We're on definitely different, we have different perspectives at this point, but I think we both have a love of Israel. People can look at me and what I'm doing and what my organization is doing as somehow being traitors or at least naive. That's a pity, but that's the untold story. You've mentioned that you'd like to give your audiences a taste of things they don't know about, they never heard about. Well, what we do at Peace Child Israel is what I call the untold story, which is the fact that there are serious, very painful, unhealed issues of majority-minority relations in Israel. I mean, people think about Israel and the Palestinians, and they think about Palestinians and Israelis. But inside Israel, there is a very deep rupture between the Jewish majority and the Arab minority, which would like to be known and called the Palestinian citizens of Israel. That is their cultural identity, their affiliation, that's who they identify with. And it makes the dialogue and the healing process and all the work that we do very, very complicated.
Let me just stop you for a minute.
Okay.
You went from what some Americans and people, I guess, elsewhere in the world would call a fairly radical Jewish organization, the Jewish Defense League. How did you get involved in a peace movement, per se?
Well, I'm telling my age, but at the time I was an activist, and I was also at the same time going to the anti-war moratoriums against the Vietnam War. But how I made the transformation was basically as a result of the birth of my daughter. There was a period of time when I wasn't doing much of anything other than studying to be an opera singer, an actress. But when it came time to, when I had my daughter, Alexandra, the love of my life, I call her Honey Bunny, I started feeling those hormones of what it is to be a mother, which I had not known or experienced. And I then became not only able, but I totally identified with the feelings of a mother towards a child. Therefore, any reconciliation or achieving safety and security and a peaceful future for the Jewish people, my people, had to be done in different ways than the Jewish Defense League. I had to find new methodology. And Peace Child Israel happened to match my personal fit in that my background was theater and music, and Peace Child uses theater as a tool for awareness raising, advocacy, and attitudinal change for Arab and Jewish youth in Israel, which is the untold story. The fact that there are Arabs and Jews in Israel who have a problem, I mean, that they are in serious problem, and it needs to be resolved for the sake of the Jews, if nothing else. I mean, it's for everybody's sake, but it's certainly for the sake of the Jews and the Jewish conscience and the Jewish values. These issues have to be resolved. And it's a story that nobody ever talks about because they're very much more busy with what's going on between Hebron and what's going on with the settlers and the Palestinians, which is a very, very long, chronic, painful story as well. But the fact that this is going on here is something people don't really address, and we've been doing it for 23 years.
Now, as we sit here, of course, this week, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Envoy George Mitchell and Mahmoud Abbas, Netanyahu, are meeting, I think, in Sharm el-Sheikh, if I'm pronouncing it right, right at this moment, and I think about to also move on to Jerusalem, if I heard correctly, that they're also going to meet there, but maybe just in Egypt. But they are once again pursuing this very elusive idea of a peace treaty. And I was just reading in an Israeli newspaper this morning a columnist who says he's as skeptical and the Israeli people are as skeptical as always about it.
Well, skepticism is justified. It's been many, many years. I mean, since 1993 and the Oslo Accords and the famous handshake on the White House lawn, there has been a lot has happened and a lot of water has flowed under the bridge since then, and it's not been happy. It's not been tasty. It's been painful. It's been bloody. And the degree of mistrust in the other side, for both sides, is enormous. So therefore, the attitude is that this can't work is because basically nobody trusts the other. I mean, it's not something imagined, or it's not even out of boredom. It's just out of repetition. I am hoping and praying that this time it's going to work, because I personally believe that if it doesn't work this time, it's not going to.
Now, you know, also as we sit here, I just returned from my first visit in about 15 years to my hometown, which is New York. I was at Ground Zero, but I was also at the proposed site for the Muslim Cultural Center that's causing all the controversy. We had the young man who stabbed a Bangladeshi cab driver in New York. We've got the pastor of a very tiny congregation on again, off again about burning the Quran. What's happening out there?
Well, America is a very... You're closer tied to what's going on in America. I see it in our news. It makes the news. I mean, the pastor in Florida was on major headlines over here. I'm not so sure about the taxi driver, but the whole issue of what's going on at Ground Zero and the mosque, and in general what's going on in American politics and in the society, I personally was rather disturbed when I saw the huge demonstration of the right wing in the States at the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial on the same day as the Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And their attitudes and their anger and their aggressiveness and their presence at that place on that day for me was very painful. Not because I don't believe they have their rights, and there's an explanation for what they feel and how they feel, but the way they're saying and their objectives are very scary to me.
So there are all these forces at work besides Arabs and Israelis here against cooperation, against peace. Back with Melise of Peace Child here in Tel Aviv, Israel, in a minute.
Shine your light, shine your light.
New music, new hope. Our new CD with King Crimson's Adrian Belew, Peter Paul and Mary's Peter Yarrow, Zender, Tom Paxton, Brian Duncan, Pam Thumb, The Bittersweets, Craig Taubman, Debbie Friedman, and many more. Incredible music benefiting children in need all over the world. A great gift for yourself or others at cdbaby.com, oneheartforkids.com. New music, new hope. The exciting, uplifting album that helps people all over the world. Get it, play it, enjoy it. Give it and help kids all over the world. New music, new hope. Also at reachingupradio.com. Reachingupradio.com.
Go back to the beginning of your work with Peace Child Israel, and tell us how you're trying to combat that in effect, particularly with young people.
Okay, because I am a walking, living proof of the possibility for change. Since it happened to me, I believe it can happen. You just have to have the appropriate, the right, the natural kind of experience in order to see things in another perspective and have a bit of a growth spurt. An evolutionary growth spurt is possible for every human being. If you have you need the right dynamics and the right situation. So we provide, because in Israel education is totally segregated, even in mixed cities such as Tel Aviv, Yafo, and Ramleh, and Haifa, and Akko, the Arabs go to Arab schools and the Jews go to Jewish schools, other than for a few, in some cases some Arab kids go to Jewish schools, but they are an anomaly. They're strange brew, the Arabs who go to Jewish schools. They also have their own identity issues. So we provide a program, and in our case, our uniqueness is theater and the arts, music, theater, arts. We provide a program to cross that segregation divide. It won't happen. I mean, since we're in Tel Aviv and Jaffa, and you see this road out here, Ha'ir Kohn Street and Ben Yehuda, there was a play by a group of teenagers from Tel Aviv and Jaffa about 3 years ago, and text in their play. They developed their own play, because now we're doing some adaptations of classics, but they developed their own play called Just Over the Boardwalk. And one line in the play is about these two women who were reminiscing about when they participated in a Peace Child program and how their two daughters are now in it. And they said, yeah, we never would have met, even though it's only 10 bus stops away from one school to the other, from the Aleph Dalet Gordon School, the A.D. Gordon School here on High Arkon Street, down to the Yud Bet High School in Jaffa. It's 10 bus stops, and it's on a straight line. And they would never, ever have met at all if we hadn't provided this program for them. So we are dealing with issues of the segregation that's in Israel, which, you know, an American attitude about segregation is, you know, there's something considered something to oppose or to resolve. Here, it's not necessarily in the same vein. I'm not so sure how much either side would like to see the schools integrated. I mean, it's not something that is that there's a big push to integrate the schools. I don't know. I mean, in the Arab schools, the Arabs speak Arabic, and if they were in a Jewish school, they would lose some of their total comprehensive approach and systematic way of teaching in Arabic and about the Arabic culture, that if they were had to give more time to including the Jewish Hebrew curriculum. The Jews, of course, Jewish students would then have to learn a bit about Arabic, because it would be a two-way street. Mm-hmm. It's not going to happen. It's premature, and I'm not so sure that too many people are interested in it. So we have to, if we want to have some sort of resolution of the dire and very painful issues between the Arab minority and the Jewish majority, then we have to create these bridges, these tools, these mechanisms for bringing the people together, having just to learn cultural awareness. They're nothing about each other. Of course, the Arabs know a little more about the Jewish narrative than the Jews do, because they try and integrate, or they do integrate somewhat into the workplace and universities to some degree. But basically, it's totally separate societies. And one of our activities at Peace Child Israel, we have them sit in mixed groups and say, tell us about what weddings look like in the Jewish wedding and an Arab wedding. And they tell each other what they are, who's in it, what's the whole ceremony that goes on and the rituals. And then we ask them to, if they had to divide up the people in the picture, who's going to play the father, the mother, the aunt, the uncle, if the rabbi, if it's a Jewish, and the imam, if it's a Muslim wedding. And then they create masks. We give them all kinds of plastic paper and glue and scissors and glitter and everything else to create these masks of their character, who they're going to play in the wedding. And then they use the masks and they do these scenes of a Jewish and Arab wedding. They don't have a clue about what they look like. Now, of course, I would say in some ways that the Jewish kids don't have a lot of detail. They haven't, by 9th and 10th grade, they haven't been at so many weddings. So everybody's learning a lot, the ones who they're sharing a lot about cultural issues. They have to create another example is they have to create their own menu for a joint meal when they go to a team building seminar. They decide what the menu is going to be. They learn about each other's food. They decide what they want to bring for the first meal that they cook everything, cook it together. They learn about foods. I mean, one girl once, I remember, brought the machine for how to make falafel. She brought the oil and machine, and they made falafel. Now, that's not to say that this is all happy campers, and I really don't want to give that impression, because there are moments of joy, and there are moments, many moments of literally tears in this process, and one must be extremely sensitive and professional to be able to facilitate it.
Tell us what the tears are about.
There's an activity based about roots, about family's roots. We ask them to bring their family album and talk about where from the grandparents down, where they were, who they are, through the pictures in the album. And when one tells a story that a girl from Tiras tells the rest of her new friends from Kfar Saba that they had land in Kfar Saba before 1948, that could be a moment of when they do, just to do an improvisation based on, that is really about stereotypes. What happens when a Jewish group goes to a picnic and two girls get lost in an Arab village, and with the Jews have to play the Arabs, so they're, and vice versa. If an Arab group of people goes to Tel Aviv for a day and two girls get lost in Tel Aviv, so these Arab students, the participants, have to pretend, play the parts of the Jews. Reverse role play. Sometimes what comes out in those improvisations are very, very painful. They're what they put on stage as the way they imagine the other side is going to behave, how they are going to behave towards two lost girls. I've walked in and seen tears in a session like that. And then we have to facilitate what we saw. Why did they do? They really, and then they realize that there are stereotypes. That's how that, we don't say in the beginning, okay, this is an activity about stereotypes. They realize that they, but here you're sitting with people who you don't think would do that, do you? I mean, there's a lot of learning going on about ourselves in the process and about the other. So we are not supposed to teach anything about the Nakba, which is the Palestinian narrative word for what they see happened in 1948. But it's hard to go through a full year of activity when all these ceremonies are going on that basically connect the two sides at the hip. There's Land Day when from 1976 when in Sakhnin there were six residents who were killed in demonstrations by the army. There's the Holocaust Memorial Day. There's the soldiers, the Israeli Memorial Day for Israeli fallen Israeli soldiers. And, of course, Independence Day. Now, something they will learn, and could be moments that are difficult, is that what the Jewish kids learn, and what's somewhat hard for them to swallow, is that the same day when they're celebrating, that crystallizes the entire problem between Arabs and Jews in Israel, is that on Independence Day, every year, the Jews are out there having a great time and feeling blessed, and on one and the same day, the Arabs are in mourning. I mean, it's literally considered a disaster for them, and it can be literally right across the street. That's what's happening. Those are the issues that Peace Child Israel is dealing with. And on top of all of this, in light of the years of since the occupation and the violence, the cross-border violence, the issue of loyalty to the State of Israel plays a factor in our reconciliation work that does not play any factor whatsoever between Palestinians and Israelis. But when you have Arab and Jewish participants who are in the same country, and the Jews have the expectation that the Arabs are going to be loyal to the State of Israel, that pushes people's buttons. I mean, how can you expect me? The feeling is that while you're blowing up my cousin in Tulkarm, how are you expecting me to be loyal to the state? Or when we do an activity, for instance, we do an activity on a current events collage. We give them, again, poster paper, newspapers, colors, scissors, glue, everything else. Make a collage in two uninational groups, meaning Arabs alone and Jews alone, and then also with mixed groups. And we just put whatever you have in the newspapers, in Arabic papers and Hebrew newspapers. And what can come out on those kinds of collages are also can be radioactive material. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they do everything but put the hard issues on, because they're kids. They want to be kids and they want to be friends. That's the truth, is they want to be friends. That's the bottom line. They want to be friends, but they are the tribal allegiances and the historical grievances have not been healed. In any case, if a Jewish group puts an Israeli flag, I remember it. This was about 7 years ago. A group, again, it was a group from Tel Aviv and Jaffa. They put the Israeli flag on their collage, and when they present their collage and they're talking about it, a young Arab boy from Jaffa says, "Well, that's not my flag." Ballistic. They went totally ballistic. So it's because the Jews are expecting the kids. What do you mean it's not your flag? I mean, they're expecting them to be loyal to the State of Israel, which is, on one hand, totally reasonable. On the other hand, it's
absurd.
Yeah, like the song.
The ages of the kids, the children you work with?
We generally work with 9th and 10th grade. Those are the direct beneficiaries, the ones who are in the groups. But we work with thousands more students who are, some of them were a bit younger, because the plays that each group performs are performed for junior high school students. It could be 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's, 12, 13, 14. The plays are used as a tool for changing attitudes. Seeing that example of standing on stage, Arabs and Jews standing on stage, working together, the fun of being in a play is the tool we use to try and change the basic attitudes of random school students. I mean, we book the plays into book. The school principals, we work between pairs of schools, so we ask our school principals to talk to their colleagues and say, why don't you suggest the play to other school principals? Each school is given a package to prepare the audience members before they come to see the show. But it's a really hard sell. It became a very hard sell when we said, when the content of the play was so directly on our conflict. Mainly the Jewish schools didn't want to introduce the possibility of some sort of trauma in their school, and it happened. For instance, 3 years ago, a group performed in a school in Hulon, which was recommended by our partner to a colleague of hers who took the play, and in the middle of the show, a kid stands up and screams death to the Arabs. Now, of course, that caused such a jolt to the school that the next day they had to deal with it completely. The whole issue of Arab-Jewish relations was on the, on their plates and on everybody's desk as a result of it.
I was going to say, though, with such an eruption, there's got to be a positive side too, that this stuff comes out.
The positive side was that the school put the issue on its agenda the next day, and that it wouldn't have if we hadn't been there. And yes, but the positive thing that comes out is that the people who go through this program are changed for life.
Next week, here in Tel Aviv, Israel, join me for part two with Melise Boscovich of Peace Child Israel. Don't miss the rest of the story. And we'll also tell you how you can help Peace Child Israel do its work. Your help will be very much needed.
This is Don Fass. Join us next weekend and keep reaching up.
This is the Celebrate Radio Network.
Radio Network.
From Seattle to Paris, Bangkok to Jerusalem.